morning, everybody, and welcome to our service on this Sunday, the 24th of January 2021. I'm Polly, I'm one of the members of the congregation here at Bedhampton, and I'm going to lead you through today's service. Before we start, just a few things of family news. Firstly, today is actually the last Sunday we're going to be pre-recording the service. From next Sunday, you can watch a live stream service at 10 o'clock. And then after the service, please join us on Zoom for coffee and a chat and a chance to actually socialise and catch up with some of our church friends. Or maybe if you don't want to join on Zoom, spend the time phoning somebody up and talking to them. Also, we're just about to come into the period of Lent and we will be running a Lent course this year. And our Lent course is going to be on discipleship. We're going to be looking at the book of Philippians and asking what it means to follow the crucified Christ. If you're not in a home group and you would like to be part of the Lent course, then please do contact Max. And now, as we come to our service today, please do join me in some prayers of preparation. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and also with you. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our prayers and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may give ourselves to the service of God. Amen. And in a moment, we're going to join together in a song, Give Thanks. And I just wanted you to take a moment to think about what you're thankful for today. Since our first lockdown in March in 2020, I've been posting on Facebook every day things that I'm grateful for, things I'm thankful for. And you know, although some days have been very difficult, the more you practice thankfulness, the easier it becomes. And last Saturday marked 300 days that I've been posting of things that I'm thankful for. What are the things that you're thankful for today? Today I'm thankful for the sun shining. I'm thankful to have got safely through another week at school. I'm thankful that we're halfway through another half term. Only 3 weeks to go until a half term break. I'm thankful for all the children who are engaging so well in the online learning. I'm thankful that I had over 120 people in my assembly yesterday logging in from home and joining in celebrations. I'm thankful for a Friday night where I could relax and have curry with family. I'm thankful to hear birds singing. I'm thankful for my health. What are you thankful for today? Just think about those things as we praise our God. Give thanks with a grateful heart.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done. thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks.
Thank you for that, Roger. When we come together before God, it's really good to say sorry for the things that we've done in the week that we didn't mean to do, or the things that we haven't done that we should have done. And so let us spend some time now coming before God and repenting. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessed is the Lord, for he has heard the voice of our prayer. Therefore shall our hearts dance for joy, and in our song we will praise our God. Blessed are you, Lord our God, creator and redeemer of all. To you be glory and praise forever. From the waters of chaos you drew forth the world, and in your great love fashioned us in your image. Now through the deep waters of death you have brought your people to new birth by raising your Son to life in triumph. May Christ our life ever dawn in our hearts as we offer you our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. And now we're going to hear our two readings.
The first reading this morning is from the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 2 to 8. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert, in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people, and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, we will do everything the Lord has said. So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 35 and continuing into chapter 10. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon and the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not come or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave the home of the town. I tell you the truth, I will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than that for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will be not you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? This is the word of the Lord.
As a church, we've been slowly working our way through the Gospel of Matthew. And today we enter Matthew chapter 10, which is the second of the five teaching blocks we find in the book. And in chapter 10, Jesus commissions his disciples and gives them instructions for their mission to Israel. At the end of Matthew, we have the Great Commission, the mandate to take the gospel to all people, to every culture, to every age. But here in chapter 10, the mission is specifically to the Israelites. Our reading today, though, started at the end of chapter 9, where Jesus has gone to all towns and villages preaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and every sickness. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, as they were like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus said to his disciples in chapter 9, verse 37, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest fields." The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Oh, how often is that still the case, that there's still so much work to do and so few people willing to do it? And chapter 10 starts with Jesus calling his 12 disciples to him and giving them authority to drive out evil spirits, to heal every disease and every sickness. And in chapter 10, verse 2, he calls the disciples apostles. The word apostle comes from the Greek word apostolos, meaning he who is sent or commissioned. So here we have Jesus sending out the 12. And you know, I love the symmetry that we find in the Bible. In the Old Testament, we had the 12 tribes of Israel. And here in the New Testament, we have the 12 apostles. Jesus really making a claim that his new order will succeed the 12 tribes of Israel. Not in a political or geographical sense, but in the sense that they are going to be the primary vehicle for taking the blessings of God to the whole world. A task originally given to Abraham. And as Jesus sent out the apostles, he gave them specific instructions to follow. Firstly, they were to go and preach the message, "The kingdom of heaven is near." And they were to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who had leprosy and drive out demons. Secondly, they were not to charge for the work. Jesus said, "Freely you've received, freely give." They were also told to travel lightly. This meant they needed to rely on God for their provisions rather than relying on their own strength. And how often do we need to be reminded to rely on God and not to do things in our own strength? We live in a society where we have so much and it's easy for us to be independent, rather than being dependent on God. Thirdly, they were told to be careful where they stayed. They needed to stay with people of good reputation and not move about to get better conditions. If the house they stayed in was deserving, they were to let their peace dwell on it. Peace here, in a sense, is a true blessing. It's the effect which depended on the person who spoke it, as well as the worthiness of the recipient. But if they found that their message was rejected, they were to shake the dust off their feet, a symbol, a gesture of the sign of judgment that's going to come on the last day. Verse 16 tells us that Christian mission is dangerous. The disciples were being sent out like sheep amongst wolves and were warned to be on their guard. However, if they were able to be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves, then accusations levelled against them would be false. When we face persecutions, it's easy to lose hope and to start to despair. But Jesus promises in verse 22 that he who stands firm to the end will be saved. As I was preparing for today, I was really reminded of the marks of mission of the Church of England. I don't know how many of you know the five marks of mission, so I'll just go through them quickly for you. Number one, proclaim the good news. Two, baptise and nurture new believers. Three, respond to human need by loving service. Four, change society's unjust structures, challenging violence of every kind and pursuing peace and reconciliation. Five, safeguarding the integrity of creation. This is exactly what Jesus was telling the 12 apostles to do. They were to go and make disciples of people. They were to proclaim the good news. They were to go and baptize and nurture new believers. They were to respond to human need by loving service. They were to challenge unjust structures and safeguard the integrity of creation. And you know, we're challenged to do exactly those things as well. In a time of national lockdown, it's easy to make excuses about being missionary-minded. How can we go out and proclaim the good news when we're in the midst of this lockdown? Well, at the moment, we certainly can't go and do what we've always had done in the past. But are there ways we can do these? Are there new and innovative ways we could be finding? Well, at the moment, we can't go and invite people to come to a physical church service, but we can invite them to look at our online services. We can't meet them for a coffee and a chat, but we could do that virtually. And there are other ways we can engage with people. At school, I've been engaging with our parents a lot more by phone calls and by email, since I can't meet with them face to face. And actually, I found that this has opened opportunities for me that I haven't had before, and opened them in a way I didn't expect. Being a head teacher of a maintained school, I've always been very careful not to push my faith onto other people. I'm there as head teacher, I'm not there to preach, and I'm not there to convert people. However, lockdown has given me opportunities. When I've had email conversations with parents, I have often offered to pray for them as they've been talking to me about some really personal things in their lives. Recently, I've been praying for one of our families who asked me to pray for brother and parents who were seriously ill with COVID. This is a devout Muslim family and they know that I'm a Christian. But when I offered to pray, they accepted that offer of prayer. And yesterday, I heard that the brother has just come out of hospital, which is a real answer to prayer. I've also been able to work really hard on the third mark of mission, responding to human need by loving service. I've spoken to you as a church before about the many food parcels and things that we've given out to our families. And that work is intensified during Tier 4, during lockdowns. The need is ongoing. And so last week I was delighted when a charity in Chichester contacted me and offered to make some weekly donations to families in need. And the first of those donations arrived this week. And that included fresh provisions rather than the tinned food and the staple food that normally comes from the food bank. As a school, we've also pledged to stand up against unjust structures in society. We're doing a lot to stand up against racism. We're looking at how we can change the school curriculum to give a voice to the voiceless. These are some small steps that we're taking as a school. And I just wanted to ask you, what steps can you take that will make a difference? How are you going to respond to the challenge from today's gospel to go? And just as we think about that challenge, we're just going to sing together, "I will offer up my life in spirit and truth." My prayer is that we as a church will offer our lives to God for him to use for his service, for the coming of his kingdom in Bedhampton.
a praise of your name for the things you have done. All my words could not tell, not even in part, of the depth of love that is owned by this thankful heart.
You deserve my every breath, for you've paid the great cost, giving up your life to death, even death on a cross. You took all my sins away, defeated my sin, opened up the gate of heaven and have beckoned me in.
Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring? Tis a faithful, a friend, tis a loving, a king. Saviour, what can be said? What can be sung? As a praise of your name for the things you have done. All my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart.
And now we come to the time in the service where we have a chance to declare what we believe. So let's join together in the words of the Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now Fleur is going to lead us in some prayers.
O God, make speed to save us. O Lord, make haste to help us. With you, O God, is the well of life, and in your light we shall see light. Jesus Christ, we praise and glorify you, King of kings, Lord of lords, from tiny baby to saviour, Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, when your darkness closes around us, we choose your light. When words fail us, we choose worship. When we are lost, we trust that we are found in you. Father, as we miss gathering together, strengthen our faith. Thicken the ties that bind us to you. Do not forsake us. Help us to not forget our true calling. Shout loudly to us of your love and your support. Remind us of our promises and your unfailing love. Forgive us when we feel overwhelmed and forget to trust in you. Father, we pray for friends who we haven't seen in a long time. We pray for their struggles, and we pray that you prompt us to reach out to people who need you. Father, we thank you for every blessing you have given us. Help us to recognize what we do have rather than what we don't. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit who teaches us that who speaks to us in that still, quiet voice. Help us to hear you, Lord. Help us to see and to recognize your presence in our lives when so much clouds our view of you. Where is our beacon, Lord? Where is our lighthouse? Help us to look to you, Lord, for our light and our cornerstone. When the darkness closes in, Lord, blessed be your name. Father, we pray for families as they go through homeschooling. Send peace to fractious homes and stressful times. Father, we pray for the government as they roll out the coronavirus vaccine. make their paths straight. Father, we pray you'll bless our church's preparations for a Zoom Messy Church. We pray this time will be a real spiritual filling for families. Father, we pray for our church leadership and thank them for their service. Father, we think of those who are sick and suffering, for families not allowed to comfort their loved ones, for lives planned that will not be fulfilled. We humble ourselves and ask for your healing and your comfort. Let us think about those now who will lay heavy on our hearts. I would like to pray for our friend Ben. Father, accept these prayers in the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Thank you for that, Fleur. And now, gathering our prayer and praises into one, let's join together in the prayer that our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, whose Son revealed in signs and miracles the wonders of your saving presence, renew your people with your heavenly grace. And in all our weakness, sustain us by your mighty power, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with us in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our service comes to a close, please do join with me in the words of that wonderful hymn, Thine Be the Glory.
Bright way.
hope you feel as uplifted as I do whenever I hear that song. And now, as we draw our service to a close, let's join together in the words of the grace. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Don't forget, next week we are live streaming from 10 o'clock and a chance to join together afterwards for a social time on Zoom. However, you don't have to wait until next week to phone up a member of the congregation. Why don't you pick up the phone now and phone somebody or send them a message to say you're thinking of them. Have a great week, everybody. I look forward to seeing you again next week.